It is now some months since I met my friends from somewhere, but now I have been contacted again and agreed on a night meeting at a lake located north of my home. I went myself to the meeting place and were waiting by a log at a fireplace I made beside the shore. When the woman came, she was not alone but in company with two unknown men. Inserted picture of Auntie by the shore of this lake, where the contacts often happened. They looked different than other aliens I have seen. They were rather short in stature, had long arms, hands and fingers, and at the tip of your fingers where our nails are, they had round and flat fingertips. The legs were slender and they wore some kind of shoes, or boots, bluish in color. The head was slightly oval in shape, they had small mouths, big round eyes, small ears and small, flat nose. They wore a tight blue-green jersey, fairly glossy, and a belt with two white triangles and a square. I also saw a sign consisting of two interconnected segments of circles, one green and one blue. I asked who they were and where they came from. The woman answered that they came from the other side of her planet and that they are scientists. Of course. I wonder why they wanted contact with me, and one of them began talking about things that had happened in history. Thousands of years ago, when we had come far enough with our technology so that we could start exploring the universe, we made trips to many places, even to your planet. We waited a long time before we decided to contact you. We had several trials, unfortunately, not with particular success. It has happened that we are ridiculed and persecuted and even executed because we wanted to help you. What do you mean? I said. Long ago when we tried to learn what was right and wrong, we had helped you to pass certain laws. Think of the Ten Commandments that we gave you. What happened to them after all these years? Have you understood them and lived after them? So you mean that it is you who have given us the Ten Commandments? Is it also true that the person we call Jesus was one of you? No, he was a Dalek that came from our twin planet, where his father was a doctor, but there were more than Jesus who came to Earth at that time. Mary was not the only woman who had a son after us. It was carefully selected 17 women who were pregnant with the sons of our ancestors. It was just Jesus who is remembered because he got a crowd to believe and trust in him. Not any of the other 17 were in any way significant. They became outcasts and mocked, so eventually they were brought home to the place they came from. But why could you not just turn up and make yourself known, without having to start from a newborn baby? And Mary conceived in this usual way? Yes, Mary and her family was no earthlings, they were simply put down on Earth by us, and then she were already pregnant with the child who was called Jesus. Rune remark, this is also quite similar told in the old, secret, book Talmud Manual, as well as the contact writings from Sam Jays, but they were not published in Sweden at the time Auntie wrote this. If anybody should claim he had this ideas from the Sam Jays material, and there is no indication he had any contact with the Mir people in Switzerland. Back to the book. They were placed, on Earth, in such a way that no one would discover them, and it was similar with the other 17. If you should believe anything else, it is wrong. One day you and everyone else will know the truth, and then you will understand that you are not alone in the universe. We cannot reveal the whole truth about your origins right now, because then it would be complete chaos, but you've got one and another building block that you can research further from. Once you have come far enough so you understand that you are not created, conjured up, by some invisible being, many of you have immediately begun to realize that God, with small letters, did not create the world, but that you come from another civilization far out in the universe. As already said, we have shown us many times, but your so-called leaders and rulers do not want to admit that they are taking us seriously. They're trying to explain us away as not existing, because they think we would take over your lands and make them, the leaders, to ordinary citizens like yourselves. But in our opinion, it's you, the ordinary people who most easily will take us seriously, so therefore we have decided to make the first contact with you. But not one, hundreds of you. When you feel the time is ripe, you will affect your leaders so that even they understand why you have become one of the elected. You knew earlier. You and the others have not attempted to deny us, Even if you do not take a position about our existence until the day when you all at once are reminded that we exist. We can only regret that it was a bit awkward for some of you, but from what I've heard and seen, you have not suffered any harm, quite the opposite. You have instead become more confident and more mature than you were before our first meeting. Yet more importantly, perhaps you have become more tuned into and one with yourself, and that is more than most others will ever be. You will feel this when you eventually are put face to face with people who tries to persuade you that these are all fantasies and dreams. You will also meet people who say that they are experts in everything that concerns us and our activities, but you will notice that they do not have the slightest idea what it's all about. Shall we talk about experts? There are not really any others than you and your friends that we have also approached, as you are the only one who knows us. And now the big question. You have been asked to come to us, but you do not respond, flat refusal, and you have not decided against us when we visited you. Forstår ich han sier, huh? Instead, you have called on us at different times to get help to sort some things out. We have said we will help you, but not so much at once that it brings too much attention, but will take it little by little. You may have wondered what we would want of you. We want to cooperate with you, and if you are prepared to continue our meetings. But why can't you not give information to a lot more than just a handful of people? As I said, we have tried in a quiet and nice way to connect with your planet, but in most cases we are attacked by your military, who for some reason do not want to tell you that we exist. We have absolutely no plans to start a war, as we have only peaceful intentions. But as long as your authorities do not accept our existence, we cannot help you maybe until it is too late. If they, the governments, are willing to help humanity preventing its own self-destruction, I'm willing to help with what I can do. You could certainly help us with one thing, he said, for example, observations of various kinds. As you know, it's a pretty procedure for us to come here and just as costly to travel back, it takes horrific amounts of energy. If you want to work with us, we will gladly give you both the training and provide you with appropriate equipment you can use for future missions. When and where are you going to show you to the world's population? I ask, and so that everyone will be able to experience your existence? When that date comes, and it is by the way already determined, we will show us in many places at once. Other contact cases say similar things, that there was a plan for this, but that it was abandoned after the secret long-planned 911 Act. Rune comment, and we read on from book, we know that it will create some anxiety, but with the help of you and your friends, you'll be prepared in good time, so that you can do some preparation. Then it will go easier. The big question is how you will react, as you know it's a big difference in appearance of some of us. But as you once said, it's not the outside that should be judged, but it is the inside. If you cannot accept that, then all have lost its true value, and then it's pointless to try to resolve problems. While we sat and talked, we ate some fruit and bread and drank their nice drinks. The two men gets up and said that it is time for them to leave, but as I have something to talk about with Jenny, we sit for a while, and discuss the subject the two men touched on. Of course I'm curious as to what will happen in the future, so I asked her what it is. She said that the various places that I have been to, might be my field of work, if I agreed to cooperate with them. And which I'm willing to do, provided that it does not impinge too much on my work and my family. After all, no one has ever shown me such respect and understanding, throughout my more than 40 years of life, as my family have done. Anyway, our ways parted there for now, and I have been told that we will not meet in an intensive manner in the near future. But we must stay connected further on. We hugged each other for a long time. Shortly after she were entering the egg-shaped vehicle to disappear over the lake, I stood for a long time and followed them with my eyes until they were gone. Honestly, I don't see much, because my eyes were filled with tears. Is this the end of a long-time friendship, or I will see her again as she has promised? I got an explanation. 860631, there has been a long time since I met my spacewoman. Her name is Jenny. When I see her again at our meeting place, it's already summer. I told her that I've been thinking a lot about what happened when the first 10 contacts with them happened in the most violent manner. I understand, she said. You have not accepted my answer to the question of what happened that winter night over 2 years ago. I answered that even though had I accepted the answer, it must have happened something more because I do not get the timeline to fit. From the time I first discovered you in the meadow until I was picked up by the police, it must have passed several hours. I have figured out. It seems the only solution is that I must have been aboard the craft in more than an hour. I've had my suspicions, but was not sure, so therefore I have not said anything to anyone. They guys who talked to me about what happened, have repeatedly asked me if I did not want to undergo hypnosis, obtain more data, but I did not want to do it. In fact, the memories came into in my mind about my stay inside the craft, and I have wondered why you put on me those red and blue rings on my body and why you cut off hairs and saved it in a jar with some clear liquid, and finally why you took one of my slippers and cut off a piece of the rubber sole, which you then melted. And I wonder what happened when I stood inside the plastic-like box that was like a sauna. We have heard of others who would have admitted to having been studied, and even operated by you. Is this what I have been exposed to? As I told you before, it all was very clumsily done when you were invited into our ship and our world. After you had driven away from your friends, we assumed that you would stop and leave the car to watch what you saw closer, which you did. You drove home instead to pick up your camera, which we already suspected you would. So we decided to wait on you in the same place as you first saw us. But certain circumstances did that we could not remain in the same place, so we decided to move a little further north. As we stood in the first place you saw us, there were great danger that we would be discovered by someone, and that would not been good. Either way, we saw you come back and stayed in the first place. Do you remember that you were going to drive back? But with some of our tricks, as you call it, we led you to continue a little further on until you two again could see of us. We had another problem, and that was how we could get you not to be afraid when you discovered that you could not drive past us. If we had thought that you would be so scared, we would have tried in a different manner, but we had been studying you for so long that we did not count on your reaction. When you were taken from your car, you were so shocked that you did not really know what you were doing. You turned around and fought with such force that you hurt one of our guards. You fought so hard that it took a long time before he recovered. But in the end you went willingly with the others into the ship. Once you have arrived in the ship you were quite worn out, so we gave you something soothing. Shall I be really honest with you, you were so shocked that you almost had a heart attack. That's why you got those rings around your chest and waist and was placed in a decompression chamber. So those rings were something like what we use in heart-stopping cases, then? But when it comes to the pressure chamber, what was it good for? Is it like the ones we use for the divers when they have been down on deep oceans for a while and descend too quickly? Yes, and we also use a form of electric shock, while allowing the pressure in your body to be restored. When your heart stops, your blood pressure changes, and it must also be restored to normal. That's the mistake you make when it comes to heart attacks. You only give electric shocks, but with the pressure chamber on top and quick heat, you can survive with more severe heart cases. And the hair that we took from you, they were used as a way to determine age and sex. Well, the sex, we knew already. When I asked her about the rubber piece on the slipper, she began to laugh and said, it was not the sole of your shoe we needed. We took a sample of the skin under your foot to find out what kind of condition your body was in. The skin is telling a lot of your physique, and even some of your psyche. Actually, you should have followed the guards to another ship that was away off and waited, but unfortunately we were discovered by another car on the way south, so we chose to let you go again. Because we knew you would be taken care of, we gave you nothing more soothing. It would have been detected on closer examination. I have to tell it like it is. Lucky that you were not sick, it was not necessary to test you at the hospital. The study conducted on you after had no reason. Yes, now you know what happened at our first meeting, and you have not suffered any damage. I hope you got the answers about your concerns, or is there more you want to ask? I can't think of anything right now, but I'll probably ask more questions if we continue to meet, as I hope we do. It makes me sad that we cannot meet more often, but I understand that you have more things to do than to meet me. Yes, it is unfortunate that our meetings will become less frequent in the future, but be patient. I explained to her how hard it was every time we separated, and that days passed before I could think of anything else, if I can possibly help but think of anything else which is going around with me. With those words, we said goodbye for now, and I hope to see her again soon. A mysterious visit to New York, the 20th of October 1986. Comment Rune, was this a practical demonstration of being conscious on astral travels, or was he also in a materialized body over there in America? Or teleported through the fourth or astral-like dimension? It is happening, the most peculiar things that never happened before. Images appear from nowhere, and soon afterwards I find myself in these pictures. A few days ago, one evening at 9 o'clock, I had laid down to rest for a while. Then suddenly a turquoise-colored cloud, or fog, covered the whole room I was in. My first thought was that it was Jenny who was here again, but she was not in sight. I sat up in bed. For a brief moment everything was black, but after a while it became lighter and very cold. I could see a picture pop up in front of me. It engulfed me, so that I found myself inside the picture, sitting on a bench. When everything cleared, I saw a lot of tall buildings around me. I found myself in a big city that turned out to be New York in the early morning. There must be a few degrees colder than where I came from, for in front of me a man skates on a frozen pond. But it didn't look as if anyone noticed me. People walked past me almost stepping on my legs like they did not see me. But anyway, I sat there for a few minutes and thought about what had really happened, but could not find an answer other than that it must have been Jenny who somehow was involved. Then I got up to go. Without looking, I walked straight into a woman who had a suitcase in one hand and a dog on a long leash in the other. In order not to walk into the lady, I took a step aside so that I came between the lady and the dog. I noticed something so strange that I get a real shock. Instead of dripping over the dog's leash, the leash went right through my legs. I turned to see if the lady reacted, as she should have done, but she continued as if nothing had happened. This was something new which had not happened before, so I turned and walked after her. Could I have imagined this, or what had happened? Before I caught up with her, I met two young people, each carrying bags. They carried their bags so far out that they could mow down anyone they met, and I got one bag in the chest. But the same happened again. It went right through me and I felt nothing. I caught up with the lady with the dog and went through the leash for the second time. I could not help laughing inside, because it was a funny feeling. I did it again and it worked. I caught sight of a bench across the street and sat down to think. I am here all by myself, why? How will I get home? Or can I get home straight through the street? But I did not have to think long, for suddenly Jenny is sitting next to me. I thought that you were near. Now you have to explain to me what is happening. I do not understand anything of this. You are really here, and at home at the same time, but in a few minutes, you will be only here. There are carriers that can move you in almost any shape, and when the time comes you will know what to do. I do not have a clue what you're talking about, I said. Auntie, you get training doing this when you sleep, but you don't know it. This trip would not have been possible if you had not done it before. I have not asked to be exposed to this. Well, you have, but not in a conscious state. You must remember that you are not the same auntie anymore. You have a new view of life. You see everything from a different perspective than you did before. You know a lot of things now that you did not have a clue about before, and you know how to use your skills when it's time. When the time comes. What do you mean by that? By the way, I will probably not be here anymore. With the training and education you have received from me, you know when it's time. You think differently now than you did in the conscious state. Do you mean I would not be conscious, now? What? Oh yes, you are fully aware of what it is all about, but it is your second eye who have not yet learned how to keep up. Are you telling me that I could be two people at once? No, not directly, but you have more than one consciousness. Do not worry, you will not be damaged by it, and frankly, it's only positive. But if I am now too, how can it happen that the less knowing part of me knows so much about the part that is higher? Auntie, you will notice that your daily eye do not know much about your second eye, as you may think, but you are learning little by little. The day you know what it's all really about, you could write thousands of pages by your higher self. What you are experiencing is just a drop in the ocean compared to what you have experienced so far. Take the opportunity now and look around while you are here, but do not reveal yourself. I will come when it is time for you to journey home. Take the opportunity to entertain yourself too. Amuse me, then how and with what? I've got no money, and I am hungry, too. You have enough to handle yourself. Good luck. If anyone had seen us sitting on the bench, they must also have seen that she just vanished in thin air. Amuse me. I felt in my pocket if I had my wallet. I took it up, and when I opened it I found exactly $200 in various bills. I am hungry, so I went to find a place where I could get a bite to eat. Preoccupied with my own thoughts, I did not notice a lot of punks or rough guys taking up the entire sidewalk, but I came up close to one of them. He swore at me, but now I discovered that this time I felt that I bumped into something. This must be investigated. In front of me stood a box next to a wall. I tried to kick the box, and what a kick it was. The box flew into the air in an arc, but only to land against the belly of an elderly gentleman. He mumbled something, and I made an excuse in bad English. At the same time I asked him if he could show me a place where I could get a bit to eat. He showed me a coffee bar where I could also eat a meal. Behind a long counter, sat two old women on a stool, one burly woman, fat with big hair, and a cigarette butt hanging in her mouth. It looked like it could be there when she slept. The second were thin and lanky, with a scarf on her head, a dirty apron around the waist and a dirty towel over her shoulder. Anyway, I sat down on a stool at the counter. I was really hungry. The fluffy lady shouted into a room behind her, and out came a young dark-skinned girl between 15 and 20. I ordered a burger with cheese and bread and a bottle of chocolate milk. I did not want to sit by the smelly lady with the dirty towel, so I went and sat down at a window table, so I can look out at the view. I sat a few minutes before the young waitress came with what I ordered. In a slightly broken English, I wondered if I could get a cup of tea after dinner. She understood clearly what I wanted, for when she came with the teacup, she asked if I wanted to have milk and sugar or a slice of lemon. Milk and sugar, I said, and she got it from me. Before she went back, she asked if I was there as a tourist, for she could hear that I was not from there. I told her where I was from and that I should not stay longer than one tonight. I also told her that I would go out on the town and look around before I went home. When she took the tray away, I thought about why I said that I would go home tea that night. I did not know exactly when I would go home. I lit a cigarette and drank my tea. After a while she came back and asked if I wanted another cup. I accepted. She asked if she could sit down for a while. "Please," I said, and pointed to a vacant chair. She told me that her name was Petra and that she goes to school, but work in the restaurant in her free time. She asked what my name was and what I did in the town. I said my name, and that I was there to look around. I do not know why, but I asked her if she would like to keep my company for a while after she was finished work. Apparently, she was glad that I asked, for her whole face lit up. We went out together from the bar. She should buy a few things, so we went into a large department store. We walked and talked about Sweden and about my family. She understood some Swedish, about as much as I could speak English, but we understood each other pretty good. Her neighbor had had a Swedish exchange student 2 years ago, and she had been together with her a lot, hence the Swedish knowledge. We went to a nearby park with a cafe where we sat and talked about everything. It never my intention that I should ask her what she thought of UFOs, but somehow we got on that topic. Time went by fast, but we got to talk a lot about the subject. She told me that it would be nice if we could meet again. I replied that it would be nice, but difficult because of the long distance. It'll work itself out, I was told, soon after we parted. But I got a smile and a kiss on the cheek before she left. I sat there and thought about what had happened, when I suddenly caught sight of Jenny outside the window. I paid the bill and went outside. It had already started to get dark. Jenny wondered if we should go and get a bite to eat before we went back home. We found a small cozy place where we could get something nice to eat. We got a steak with potatoes and assorted vegetables and a bottle of wine. Afterwards we drank coffee and tea. There were two lighted candles on the table, and Jenny wanted me to put out one. Why? I asked. Candlelight is nice. But she insisted, so I moistened my thumb and forefinger to extinguish it, but she stopped me. You should put it out without any movement and not blowing it out. Try to think that it goes out. Stop. I said astonished. While I have heard that it is possible to perform certain things with the power of thought, I can't do it. Why? She said again. How it happened, I don't understand, but when I looked at the light a few seconds, the flame began to flicker and then died out completely. That's good. She said, but now you can light it again. Give up now, it was you who did it, I said so loud that people reacted. No, Auntie, anyone can do it, but you have to know how to make it happen. Your second eye can do such things, but not your first eye. But you learn over time. Just remember that you must never use your hidden powers for commercial purposes, nor to harm anyone or anything. However, you can make use of it when an emergency arises, but in those cases, the laws of nature comes into play, and your second eye helps you. And you should know that when you're in your dreams, as you call them, it is your second eye that exists there. But your ordinary eye will show up, that's why you can remember some of what is happening you in your dream state. There are things that you cannot write down or tell anyone yet, but do not worry, when we see that you complete your task in full, you will remember everything that happens. We had now finished our meal and received coffee and tea. There were a couple of tables close to us, they had candles on the tables, and I got the idea that I should have some fun with them and make the lights go on and off with the power of thought. The man responded quickly. He took a match to light the candle, but before he could, I already lighted it. I put the other out, and the same thing happened. They were beginning to look around, not understanding what was happening, while both Jenny and I could not keep us from laughing. I did not continue as I would have liked to, as it was quite comical to see their reactions. You are learning, said Jenny, and that's good. Sure, you can have some fun with what you can do, but it is good that you can control yourself. And do not forget what I told you, that you can use it from time to time, but not to harm anyone. She got up from the table and said goodbye for now. But we will meet again, she said before she left. I paid the bill and got $2 back, which I left on the table for tips. I thought that I had to make my way home before someone woke up at my house. I got the feeling that was cold, and again, a picture emerged out of nowhere. It was a picture of our house and garden. I willed myself to be one with the picture, and soon after I found myself on the lawn behind the house. After a while I went inside. The clock showed 4:16. My wife was sleeping. I put on some tea for myself and lit a cigarette. As I sat there thinking, I tried to light a lamp standing on the table, to repeat what I had done earlier. But to my disappointment it did not work. Either it's all a dream, or it is my old self that are again active. I did not know what to believe. I got to bed to get some hours sleep before I went to work. But for some reason I was not the least tired. Now I just have to wait for the next experience and see what happens. Still I don't know what to think about what is happening to me. Left, not Jenny, but imagine she is ... and it is New York. Contact Encounter in Space, December 1986. Winter was here again. One December evening, I decided to go out for a walk before going to bed. Inside the surrounding houses lights are still on in some places, they're probably preparing for Christmas. When I passed the new school and turned right, I could see a bluish glow some distance away down in the forest. It was approaching slowly to where I was. After a few seconds it stopped, I stood still to see what would happen. The glow became stronger and it was possible to see the outline of a ball-like globe, a few meters in diameter. It stood perfectly still for a moment and then slid behind a grove of trees. I had not walked more than a few feet, when it showed itself again, only to disappear behind the trees again. Apparently it wanted me to follow, and I did.